All right, so who's hosting this thing?
I just
no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, hey everybody, welcome to the No Name Podcast. I'm your host Arturo, joined by your co-host. What's your name?
There's always a cold. There's always a cold open to these things. I swear nowadays. Anyways, Ricky.
Yeah. So we're back. I mean, not that we've been anywhere. I think we've been consistent with things.
I mean, we're a bi-weekly show.
Exactly.
Every 2 weeks.
Exactly. We're You know, I think sometimes a week just feels so long. You know, it's probably because we had a lot of things right in between. But right before we get into that, you know, find us on Instagram, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. You good, bro?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and any other podcast services.
We're available.
But yeah, coming to you, we got episode 106 right here. And not only that, but we also have our No Name Sport episode coming. When is that?
Next week. We're back. Oh, it's
you guys are back.
It's gonna be a good episode.
I know. I'm just ahead here. I'll give you like some shoulders, maybe.
Dude, this ain't OnlyFans. Just show. Just okay. Stop. This guy.
It's a tank top. It's chilling. I don't got titties. hey. I've looked at the YouTube guidelines.
We're fine. We're totally fine.
Those are so bad right now. What is YouTube becoming? There's YouTube Kids for a reason, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Only Twitch. Mm-hmm. If only Twitch was that better. I'm just saying, there's been some things I've been seeing lately. I mean, it's not like, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. But lately, it's just been popping. And then, the drama.
You make me want to open up my Twitch right now and be like, what can I find on my For You page? No, just kidding.
The drama that's been going on.
Let me go to my Discover page. Let's see what's going on here. No, just kidding. No. But, yeah. So, speaking of, like, all the things we had in between, dude, we had such a huge event.
Can I just say, fighting game tournaments are just the best thing ever.
Yes.
They're just the best thing ever.
Like, even though this, like, the categories, some of the categories don't count as fighting games, because, you know, Smash isn't a fighting game, accordingly.
Oh, yeah, of course. And that's a Nintendo's eyes and all that stuff.
In Nintendo's eyes, yes. But, Genesis 9. Wait, I didn't even ask. Who cares? Genesis. That's because I was going to ask, like, oh, Ricky, how have you been? But I was like, nah, screw that. Let's just get straight to the topic. We don't need a new wellness check. No, just kidding.
Wellness check. We're good.
Our wellness check was Genesis 9. Honestly, yeah. Dude, that Genesis, dude, that was hype. If I could describe it.
All 3 days. Because I think the only thing that was good about this one, again, this was my third one overall. This is your second. And I think the only thing that the reason why this one tops it is that we got to see Sundays.
Top eight. Yeah, because I was like, before, I was like, okay, you know, it's a cool experience. But like, after experiencing top eight, I'm like, crap, we just need to go to top eights, huh?
It's just, wow. It's amazing.
You know, it's unfortunate that we skipped out of it those other years, but I'm like, after this, I was like, damn, we can't skip out on this anymore.
The only reason why we skipped out of it
because of the Easter.
Last year there was an actual reason. Because one, remember, it got delayed because it's normally in January, but it got delayed because of COVID stuff. They pushed it to Easter weekend of all things. We didn't even realize it until we realized when we were planning it. And then, of course, Sundays on Easter is totally something else for us and all that stuff and everything that we have responsibilities for, unfortunately, and all that stuff. And then I didn't go for top eight on the first year I went, I think one because it was already sold out. And if I remember correctly. So the thing was, when we went last year, and then when I went on my own in 2020, for Genesis 8, Sunday happens at a separate venue, and you pay for a separate ticket that day. The good thing about this year was that the fact our ticket covered all 3 days this time around, including Sunday. So it worked out, but the fact that it was back in January, we normally don't have nothing planned on Sundays in particularly, so we're like, we can go. And then the fact of I think even if it was a separate day, I think we still would have bought the top eight since we had the opportunity to do it, but the fact that it was part of the ticket, it was awesome, it was good, it worked out.
It worked out really nice, you know, especially with our Airbnb being so close.
God. Oh my god, the fact that we found it out literally a couple days before and all that stuff just made that.
We were like, dude, we can just walk, and we like walked everywhere. My only complaint was like there was no drinkable water there, but like, you know, nothing that a little 5 a.m. grocery store run can't fix. Don't ask why I was up that late. Or early? Gosh.
Early. You can go early.
Yeah.
That was just it was just an amazing weekend. We got to experience Smash. We did get to see other games that are there. Guilty Gear, Rivals.
Mainly Guilty Gear. We didn't. Well, we just looked at the Rivals.
Guilty Gears, we saw all the way through, and all for all the way to finals on that day. And then Rivals, we saw it happened to be at the next side, and all it happened to be except for Rivals. Yeah, we got. Doubles Ultimate was the funniest one for the fact that it happened all in that one day and everything.
I was like, dude, how is Doubles Ultimate so such a small pool?
It was, I caught it. You didn't notice it until I told you and everything.
I know. I was like, what's the one is Doubles Ultimate? So, like, you know, we saw it. No, honestly, though, dude, I don't know if it would have even fit for stinking top eight, though, because. Top eight was so
here's like, so we saw top eight doubles melee, doubles ultimate, singles melee, singles ultimate, and then of course top eight for Guilty Gear. If I had to say something, if in all honesty, the one that was the weakest out of all of them was doubles melee.
Really? I thought doubles melee was pretty hype.
Oh, no.
But that's because, you know what? No, it's because history singles. Happened in singles melee.
It was singles melee, actually.
Yeah, it was singles
melee. Singles melee was the worst. Though, yeah, it was history because we got our first, it was our first Genesis winner from the East Coast, apparently, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And
also his first Genesis win.
And his first Genesis, because it was his second one, if I remember correctly. I think it was his second.
Yeah. Because I believe he got second place last time.
Where is? Oh, here it is. Give me a sec. I'm trying to grab my Genesis booklet, and that gives us.
Oh yeah. Information.
Let me find them while I talk, and all.
But yeah, dude. Like, Melee's was pretty cool, but Melee single. So, with Melee doubles and ultimate singles, those went to like game five scenarios. Melee singles were just only game three.
J-Mook.
That's for a lot of the... J-Mook, yeah.
Was our winner. He is from FlyQuest. And I forgot who he beat.
Didn't he beat Plup?
Let me bring up the bracket from start.
He beat Plup, I think.
Let me go ahead and get that while you still talk. I'll pull up the bracket.
Or was it Moki?
Maybe.
Oh, no, it was probably Moki because I remember the crowd. The crowd was so hyped for Moki. But, yeah, it was a lot of just game three scenarios. It was pretty cool, though. Melee is because Melee also has a lot more tech as well, because there's light shields and everything, and then there's regular shields. It's a lot more movement involved into the game, ledge trapping, and it's just a lot more factors that come into like such an old game, especially when people find new mechanics to like abuse and to use. So Melee is like a game that's like always evolving, and it's literally the best of the best that are playing. It's just sometimes with the best of the best, they just sweep everybody. And
let's just say
you're just like, damn.
There's a lot of the same people every time you see a top eight with a few new ones here and there and all that stuff.
Yeah. Because Melee, you know, you're always going to have your H-Box, you know, Armada, if he's playing.
He did commentary,
which was fun. We didn't get to hear because obviously we weren't watching stream, but
that was so weird. I'll be honest.
Yeah, they do that just because it's unfortunate, but they do that because of.
Well, I don't know if it's just because it's a different game in general, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because when May and Manny attended the league matches, mm-hmm. and that's all of them that we've attended. We hear the commentators and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that
you would normally commentators, but for Smash, it's a little bit different, just because.
But you would,
I guess, it could disturb the Smash players, or you know, cause commentators' curse.
But that's the thing, though. It's like,
that's the point. You're already dealing with a big old crowd.
I guess. Well, that was the thing about the top eight venue, the fact that the commentators were really right next to the fighters. I was like, what in the world? And then the fact that it's like, but I think again. I don't think Melee players have headsets on, too. Fighting players have headsets on. I don't know.
I don't think they do.
And all that stuff. So it's like, yeah,
I hear them like plugging their wires and everything.
Yeah, so it's like, that's the other thing. I don't know. Grand final for Melee singles. It was J-Milk with a 3-1 over Cody Swap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Moki.
IBSM, right? Or something like that?
Huh?
IBSM? That's like his gamer tag name.
I guess he's with Counter Logic Gaming. That's all I know from the org standpoint. And but
Moki or IBDW. IBDW. That's,
I think so. And then Moki made losers final, but got swept. I told you.
Mm-hmm.
So there was only one. So here's the thing about that. There was only one that went to five matches. And that was the first round of winter semi. That was the winter semifinal between J-Mook and Zane. That was the only one that I went to get to five matches. Everything else was four or under. And that's not saying much on that part. No, it's not. And everything. So, see, the thing, like, I got nothing against Melee. I mean, like, in all honesty, those who like Melee is in my age group and all that stuff. Most likely and everything. But the fact that it's just like, it wasn't, for me at least, it was just like, this is not exciting to me. And I was like, because it was mostly
sweeps. Yeah. And I was like, I feel like you want to see those close game scenarios.
Yeah.
And everything, right?
Yeah.
You want someone to cheer against.
Pretty much. Because it's just like,
yeah.
And then though, like, I don't follow Smash in general, just knowing the players and all that stuff. I know I still enjoy it and all that stuff when watching it.
Oh yeah, and then I think my problem with Melee too is that sometimes it can just get so stale because it's the same characters, same top characters that are always going to be there. You're always going to see a Fox or Falco. Which we did. You're going to usually see Sheik.
That is also
right.
That's who won it.
And what's it called? On occasion, depending on who's playing, HBox is always gonna have Puff. Armada's always gonna have his Peach. And what's it called? The one Ice Climbers character player out there. But other than that, you're not really gonna see anybody else in those pools compared to like Smash Ultimate. Completely different pool of characters.
Yeah.
Shoot. Like, what the heck? I mean, even in Melee doubles, you see a different change of character. We saw Yoshi in top 8. True. And Puff took it all.
Speaking of Melee doubles, it was Hungrybox and Plup that won Plup. That one in a 3-0 sweep.
Yeah, and that was still pretty hype, though. Because freaking HBox was over here hitting all of the rest. Dude was hitting double rest. Dude hit 7 rest in like one game. And people were like, he is showing you that it was not a fluke. I'm like, god damn, he's right. That was something else. And that's why he's the GOAT. Yeah, HBox is the GOAT, though. Will and always will be. Hungrybox, for those of you guys don't know.
So Ultimate Doubles had a total of 225 entrants.
Dang, we should have entered, Ricky. Next year. Oh, wait. Yeah.
We'll see. Let me see here. I got a double. That was Ultimate Doubles. 235 entrants on Melee Doubles. And let's see here. 1,253 entrants for Melee Singles.
So many.
Yeah. And 1,215 for Ultimate Singles. For that one. So
makes sense.
Big discrepancy.
Big difference.
big difference between doubles and singles and all that stuff. Speaking of Ultimate Singles, which I thought was the best thing of the night of Sunday and everything.
Oh my gosh, dude, did you know that set between stinking the grand final set? Did you know that lasted a whole hour?
Yes, I did.
I was like, I didn't know until like I saw it on it popped up on my feed for YouTube, right? And it showed up like the grand final set for Genesis 9.
It wasn't.
I was like,
but it didn't feel like an.
Hour. I was like, what? It was just insane.
It didn't
feel that like whole. Everything was insane with that set, you know, especially with Tweak getting absolutely dumpstered on by Spargo.
It's not even that. It's the fact that the champion.
That was like the only one that was like a three.
When you switched to Joker, it was over.
No. Let me tell you. Because, like, that's actually one thing I really enjoyed about the grand final. Not even grand. Top 8 in Smash singles, Ultimate Singles. We got a top 8 that was jam-packed.
Dude.
Because every game was game 5.
Only 2.
Or, like, either game. Only two of them.
Sweeps. Only 2 were in sweeps.
Exactly. And I'm like, and I loved that because I was like, that's what a good grand finals looks like. We had stinking. I was. Who was there?
So your top 8, the top 8 one that was Sonic, the eventual champion, and Kaleo, Mute Ace, Light, Spargato, Cola, Gluttony, and Tweak.
Yeah. It sucks to see Gluttony kind of like threw a game away by going Wolf, because yeah, he could have totally won against Sonics, dude. I hated Sonics in that tournament because like Sonic just like makes the game drag on so much. I feel like that like single tournament was like 2 hours longer just because of Sonics alone.
Oh, that match was pretty long. Yeah, his matches make it so long.
I was like, really?
I mean, all his games were all 5. All 5 games. All his games. And for that one, they all went to 5.
They all went to top. They all went to 5.
For that way. But I was just like, again, it was just like, it was so, seeing everything was like, I think I enjoy, because I think that's why I enjoy Ultimate more than Melee, because Ultimate does provide more characters, because it's every single character from the last few games, along with the DLCs that came on after that. and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And everything. And then the fact that this right here, when I look at this bracket right now, it's like Sonic with the Sonic. MKLeo had, I'm forgetting that person's name. I'm going to be pissed if I can't say it right now. It's a Fire Emblem character. I think I know for sure. Or was it Xenoblade? I don't know.
Fire Emblem, Chrome.
Maybe.
Marth.
I'm not
Roy. I'll figure Lucina. We'll figure it out. Byleth. Byleth. Byleth.
Byleth.
Probably thinking of Byleth.
I think Byleth was the up later on when he played it. Peach, Fox, Cloud, Steve, Minecraft Steve, Wario.
Steve was, oh no.
Joker from Persona, Wolf, which is the odd one out, and everything. But it's just like, it's that house. It's like Melee. It's like, because it is that selective characters from with that game itself. But knowing the people you're playing with, knowing about who's in the Melee side of things, who plays in that, you already know what you're gonna get out of it. In a way. And it's so it's like, think about, oh, Jigglypuff, this person, Fox, Sheik. So it's like the simple rundown and all that stuff and everything. How I feel like with Ultimate, and then we didn't get to see much of before, like any of the we saw a little bit of pulls, we saw a little bit of top 60 like any other ones. But it was just like
Sonic's early on in the match, somewhere going up against a random Mario.
Okay, to Mario, and then literally embarrassed him and everything.
And we're like, really? Dang it, Sonic. Why are you here?
And everything. But I feel like...
The amount of Sonic fans that left after Sonic lost, I was like, good. That's good. oh my gosh.
But it does bring that like thing of like seeing like this more variance to it and all that stuff, which is nice. And all that stuff. It just sucks that Nintendo wants to squash this thing. I mean, tournaments are still happening and all that stuff. Thank God.
Oh, yeah. This tournament still happened.
This tournament still happened and everything like that.
Who were you rooting for?
Honestly,
if you could root for anyone.
If I could have root for anyone, well, that depends. I'll be honest. In Melee, I probably wouldn't root for no one.
Well, for Smash Ultimate.
For Ultimate, I like Leo. I'm not gonna lie. I think
Leo is really cool.
Because he uses Joker. And the one thing is, like, the fact that I was, like, that... The one reason why is just, like, because Persona 5 is, like, one of the games that it's, like, I have not finished, but always keep wanting to play because it's always interesting and all stuff. And the fact that it was a character that... It was the very first Ultimate character, DLC character that got announced. It's a very cool player. It's very cool to see him play that and all that stuff. And all of that stuff. But... The fact that he won it was pretty cool. And I think, if I remember correctly, if he was at Genesis 8, and I saw him, and I'm like, wow, this kid's good. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff. So it's like, here then.
It is so good.
This kid's good. Like, he got a future ahead of him and all that stuff. Let's see here. There is that. We have we saw Guilty Gear Strive Finals. We saw the top 8 for that. Aaron Dematic won in a sweep. Oh, it was on a reset too, because he came from finals. That's why he won all 6 matches in a quickness. I gotta tell you, Guilty Gear Strive is the most cleanest, most strangest, and most coolest thing I've ever seen in a fighting game.
Oh, it was my like... God. Yeah, my whole thing with that, I was like, what is going on? And the cool thing, too, is that we're sitting next to some people that, like, were actually new about the game and everything, so, like, yeah. We got to hear some of their commentary.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's cool. I was like, dang, no multiverses? That was my whole thing.
I think, like, see, that's the thing about... I don't know about how to get games to join that stuff. And what's the process of that, all that stuff and everything?
It was like, you know, we saw that Evo.
Yeah. But then again, Evo.
Evo is Evo, true.
And also, and the game was just coming out at the time, too. So it's like, it kind of makes sense for them to like, hey, our game just came out. Let's show this out on Evo and all that stuff and everything, do a little small thing and everything. They recently did a tournament, like, not that long ago, but I haven't heard anything since. And I'm like, I've been keeping, like, a close eye on it because I was like, I want to see some competition.
So, no, just kidding.
Hey, Game Awards 2022 winner for best fighting game. Say, Call the Dead game now. What? We still play that game. I played that.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm playing that game on my Steam Deck and everything. I tell you this, on a Steam Deck, playing 1v1s on church Wi-Fi, weird ping. That's all I gotta say. And everything.
Weird ping.
I was like, where's some lag? Yeah, but did I win? No, I lost. I lost in 5. It was a close one. But I lost. Hey, it was Harley versus a Wonder Woman. I'll let you decide that for yourself.
I mean, as a Wonder Woman main? No, just kidding.
Shut up. You'll beat me no matter what.
Oh, gosh. I mean, with bad Wi-Fi, too, so.
Yeah, exactly. And everything. But no, like, I don't know. It just depends. I don't know about that. Like, I would love to see. Would have loved to see multiverses in a freaking at Genesis. And everything, but it's just the fact it's like people call it a dead game because of what it is, and it's just like,
yeah, I'm like, you got to look at the fighting game community and how big that community is. It's not a very big community if you look at it.
True, but it's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very opinionated.
It's also very opinionated.
Very loud spoken too on its games. Or just games in general and all that stuff, because that's the thing. It's like, especially with what multiverses and those kind of games are, those platform style fighting games and all that stuff. And it's just like, it's Smash and nothing else. That's what the view of it is and all that stuff. When I see it, it's Smash, multiverses, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawls, Brawlhalla, and then like Rivals also and all that stuff, and then of course I think it was Rushdown Revolt or something like that, I forget what it's called, and it's like those are games and all that stuff, and it's just like, I feel like looking at every single game has its own distinct thing to it. How else? It's like with multiverses in particular, because it's supposed to be that a bigger game in a way, based off the brand of it with its characters and all that stuff. When we hear dead game from it, they always the one thing they want to compare it to is Smash, and it's like, no. It needs to be like, I don't want a carbon copy, which is in multiverses. It doesn't look like, it doesn't feel like a carbon copy, and all that stuff. And everything, because there is some differences and all that stuff. I mean, hell, they. And all that stuff, like, it's like there's a freaking rank system. I mean, it's not live yet, but still, and all that stuff, and all that stuff. But it's there at least, and all that stuff. But there's these other things they're adding to the game. I can care less of the fact that they have a slow progression of getting new characters in. I rather have that than them milking out more every single time.
Yeah, and I'm like, and here's the thing too, I'm like, I just looked at the numbers on just Steam alone. So, like, you know, I compared it with, like, you know, other fighting games like Street Fighter and or what's it called? With Mortal Kombat's player count. They're all in, like, the similar player count bracket.
Yeah, because it's, like,
because it's a fighting game. That's their genre. Yeah. Okay, just because it jumped from, like, 66,000 people that started off with it as a free game, keep in mind,
let's all remember that, because that's the thing about that one, and
with big marketing from a, what's it called,
it's Warner from Brothers,
a well-known brand,
it's Warner Brothers, but I wouldn't say it had big marketing in a way.
Not really big marketing, but like, you know, big brand name that comes with it,
there's a lot of brands to it and everything that's within multiverses, and it's a lot. You know, stuff. It's gonna, I think it's more of the fact, because it's like, And it because it's like the thing about it so far is just like they're saying the content's not there. It doesn't matter if the content's there, because here's the thing. I'd rather wait 3-4 months for a new character, because I want to have time to learn these other ones and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just because certain people can learn it in a quickness, that's your fault for doing that and all that stuff. That's your thing. But here's the thing with you. Like, you, when you learn something, you go to the next one. You don't know all that stuff and everything. And then you try new things, at least, and everything like that. But it's like some of these people, they'll be like, oh, I learned it. I'm good. Don't need to bother. It's like, come on now.
I'm like, all right, I learned it. And I'm like, now let's see if I can take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you it's know, just like,
let me cook. No, just kidding.
Exactly. So it's like that. I mean, we have I will say, like, the only downside is that there's not enough stages and everything. They've had a couple in since then. There's only been like maybe 3 to 4 since launch and all that stuff, which is not bad, but at the same time, it's like maybe a couple more and all that stuff, especially and all that stuff, because you want to make sure you have a good variety of it. And then plus doing Scooby-Doo Mansion three matches in a row, not fun. And all that stuff. And that's with roof. No roof is fine. And all that stuff too. So it's just like, the content side is more of like, I can wait for new characters, especially with the pool it has right now. And then everything like that. And then once rank comes in, I might jump on that for 1v1s just to have some fun and see how far I can go with that.
Normal ranked
and everything. It's just more of the fact it's like, I am enjoying multiverses now of what it is. Because it deserves what it is. It's not something that I don't have to like freaking rush for, like, on a content perspective. And they've added little small things, like the fact that there's now like a boost for like coins, battle XP, and regular XP. That's pretty cool. When we found that out about that and all that stuff. Their events are nice and everything like that. So it's like people want more. And it's just like, dude, just give it time and enjoy what you have now.
You gotta let it grow.
And all that stuff. Like, the game has, it's only been half a year. Almost half a year, but not by now.
Yeah, and like half of it was in its beta phase.
True. I mean, it still technically is, but,
yeah, technically.
But it says, like, I get the fact that, like, these free to play games should have more of a.
I'm like, isn't their new season actually starting?
It should be
starting tomorrow?
Soon. Should be starting soon. If not. And all that stuff. Even that, that's the thing. Like their season has, the second season has been very long. But at the same time, it's just like, I'm not tripping about that and all that stuff. It's like, because it's just, I'm enjoying it. I'm having my good time with it. And all that stuff. Like, and this is like, I'm enjoying it. I'm not rushing to get things done like how I do on these,
love to see,
on these BRs and all that stuff.
You know who I would love to see? I would love to see Brock Samson from the Venture Bros. And no,
honestly, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool. Because I just really got into watching
Venture Bros. Recently. I mean, the fact that they have Rick and Morty on it, it's a possibility. No, honestly,
it's a possibility now.
No, so the fact that Rick and Morty's in there, it's a possibility. There we go. Mm-mm. If I remember correctly. The one thing you want to do, I think Genesis has somewhere on their site, or I don't know where it is, where you can request a game. Do you want to see at Genesis? Yeah. If I had saw that sooner, I probably would have put my vote in for Multiverses. And I think you have to get, there has to be like, I think there's like a community thing to it, like for people to add it, for it to get to join and all that stuff. So. Would have got it if I found out about it sooner? Who knows? And all that stuff and everything. But people call it a dead game when literally one fighting game of the year. Anyways. I would be like, here's the thing about this. People call it a dead game. I wouldn't be laughing if it gets another Evo event, Evo thing.
Like a big screw. Like well, a big, it big time be, tournament event.
Not like how not
like a main stage.
not a main stage. Just there in general. Just there in general. And all that stuff. Because like of course you'll have like your big games like always, like Street Fighter and all that stuff. Especially now with Street Fighter 6 coming out later this year.
They know what they're doing.
And all that stuff. So yeah. And everything and all those ones. I think Guilty Gear might get that one of those top games for that stuff too. But it's just
like, it has a really good player count, actually.
Yeah, so if, like I said, if Multiversus gets another, does another thing at Evo and all that stuff, and there's a good pool for it, I'm gonna be like, yeah, it's a dead game. It's definitely a dead game. No, it's not. Dead games don't exist, in all honesty.
There will always be a player count.
There's a healthy player count. It's doing well for itself. And all that stuff. It's just you didn't like it for what it had. That's it. And all that stuff. And y'all just need to chill and enjoy what it is of what it's supposed to be. Of course, we're gonna have complaints about certain things, but that's just the way of everything is. And all that stuff. How we then stuff like we have our complaints. I know I have some complaints. Arturo has some complaints with it and all that stuff. But I don't complain about it I don't complain about it because it's not something that I've from another game I've played before. I complain about it because it doesn't feel right for this game.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And yeah.
I mean, but that's gonna be like all games in general. Oh, I feel like.
No, it is.
It literally there's always even things that need to change, and that's gonna have to be through, you know, community feedback and devs actually going in and fixing up the games, especially new ones that come out, because luckily we're at a day and age where there's things like patch notes. Back in the day, you know, the game released and it was crap. It was gonna be crap. Things were gonna be bugged. Things were gonna be bugged. Nothing was gonna be fixed about it, unless they did recalls.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's just more of the fact. It's just like,
you know, I think it's because we're also in a day and age where we're just so spoiled. Because devs can literally go in and change the game's code per our request.
They literally could, yeah.
And I'm like, sometimes devs release things as intended, and sometimes we look at the devs and we're like, dude, why did you change certain things? Like, for instance, Modern Warfare 2 and Warzone 2, right?
Okay.
There were some things. Okay, what?
I was going to say. The thing is, Modern Warfare is a whole totally different story in itself.
It is. But like, Warzone 2 specifically, right? There was already things in Warzone 1 that should have carried over. And, you know, granted, they released it in an early state of the game where a lot of the stuff that we had within a good game wasn't there. It wasn't present. And that's something that they should have realized, because they're like, with Warzone 2, if it was going to be something completely different, they should have called it Warzone 2. But the fact that it's Warzone 2 should have built off of the good things that Warzone 1 had and presented that there and then built from there on.
I get that.
Because it just felt like a game from scratch again.
Well, I'm gonna be honest. Like, people can say what they want to say. I think Warzone 2 was the intent, was the way they wanted to intend it to be, with the changes they made. And that's the site, no side canceling and all that stuff. The climbing,
with the movement and everything. That's
also
understandable.
That's intended. Now, the other stuff of like. Unable to change perks. There's not that many buy stations and all that stuff. You couldn't do loadout drops at first and everything like that before the game came out. And those are small quality of life things that, yeah, probably should have carried over to the next game, to this version of Warzone, and all that stuff. And I'm not trying to, and this is not me trying to like defend the developers in an only sort of way and everything. This is just how I feel about it, because the one thing about this game and then just Call of Duty in general But this game always comes out in the month of November. And what occurs in the last 2 months of the year? It is the holiday season.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And what is there's most likely a chance that most of these developers are not going to be in the office most of the time during holiday season and all that stuff. So it's like you're kind of stuck in a way of not getting proficient updates and all that stuff. You're probably going to get a few, maybe some big ones, at least before they go on their break and all that stuff, because that's what they do. But my intended thinking is for this fact, it was like the changes that they made were the, especially like I said, with movement and all stuff, I think that was always the intention of this one, but the smaller quality of life things they should have kept for sure and all that stuff. And of course there's like, and then we've talked about the 2v2 gulag, we've talked about some other things and all that stuff. Now I follow this game on from a streamer aspect too. And the one thing I've always heard about streamers, because there was like, so there was like a big event before everything launched, even before Modern Warfare 2 launched. A lot of content creators and streamers were there to, and apparently they gave their thoughts and all that stuff about what they think and all that stuff. The 2v2 Gulag was one of those things, and how it should be reverted back to 1v1s. And I'm sure they probably took that to heart. But here's the thing. This is them giving them feedback before, even before Modern Warfare 2 came out. And again, I'm not defending them. I'm just giving an idea and like speculation of and my thoughts about this and what I think. Yeah. My thinking is for the fact that they wanted to make sure they probably, the reason why they, my think is they probably kept it on there because they wanted to see it more from a general aspect and see what people think from it generally.
Definitely.
Don't get me wrong. Like, and everything, like, I'm sure, like, they took those thoughts from about the revert, about the gulag, they probably took it seriously, but at the same time, the feedback you're getting, though they have a big audience behind them and all that stuff and everything, that would probably agree with that content creator about that, there's a lot of other people that are probably being like, let's see. Cause like, and that's, and like, and then that literally agrees with like with me and you in particularly and all that stuff.
Yeah. Because we gave, streamers are the 1%.
Yeah, and that's nothing. And again, this is nothing against them. This is coming from someone that does stream and all that stuff too. And the thing is, it's like, we gave it the shot. At first seemed fine. But the more we played it throughout the rest of the season, it got annoying and all that stuff. Because especially of what digressed with it and all that stuff. Nope, dead players, players not even just bouncing right at then and there. Gulags don't. You have a more chance. I feel like there's a more chance of you getting out of the gulag without even having to enter it and all that stuff. Because it doesn't seem like there's never enough players in it. At least from my experience.
And all that stuff. Because you're always either, you always need like a second, you usually have that third, but you always need that last player. Mm-hmm. And usually your whole team's in that gulag too, and you're just like, saw dudes.
Yeah, and it's
like, there's another player here, but like, you know.
Yeah, so it's just like, it sucks and all that stuff. Buy stations, it is hard to find a buy station where you're at, depending on where you're located on the map, because there's not much around, and it sucks. Loadout drops. I was fine with it in the beginning when I first heard it, and though they brought it back, it's very expensive no matter what you play, especially when the fact that there's very little money throughout the map.
Very little buy stations, because people that do save up money by doing contracts, there's no buy station for them to use it on.
Exactly. So it's just like that. And then by the time you finally find a buy station, there's probably somebody camping by there already, and you die.
Yeah.
You lose like half of your money and all that stuff. So why are we saying these things that we've already talked before? Because season 2 is near us,
And season two is going to come with some changes that we hopefully... Well, they look like they're going to be healthy for the game.
Oh, yes.
Especially plates. Oh, my gosh.
So let's just state something here now. We are recording this on
I don't want to feel like I'm playing Apex. No, just kidding.
We're recording this on a Monday. This is just what they released is just pretty much a community update article on what they're changing. These are not official patch notes or anything like that. They're planning on talking about more things later on before the season two release and all stuff. And then as of we're recording this today, this episode will be released after they reveal the new Resurgence map, because apparently they're releasing that on a Tuesday and all that stuff after we record this episode, unfortunately. So will there probably be me reacting to this and cut it in the middle of this episode? Maybe. Well, no. We'll see. And all that stuff. But so this is just a community update. I think we're just gonna, like, the common stuff here that's like they have crash instabilities, audio, UI improvements, and all that stuff. People really do hate that the UI. Okay.
I'm fine with it.
I'm just like, okay, and all that stuff. People compare it to Hulu. I'm like, oh god.
You say to Hulu?
There's people that compare it to Hulu.
Oh gosh.
Oh my golly.
You're like, is it that bad?
Apparently so. Okay. The one important thing on experience is the play-again feature will make a return for Battle Royale. So there's no longer a spectating leave game at the end of the game. You can now hit the play-again option. And stuff.
Really?
Weapon balances, of course, will be a thing for Season 2, as it does for every new season. So that will be coming on the patch notes. We're gonna start with Battle Royale and everything. So first things first, Gulag reverts to 1v1 now. Along with that, it is gonna be the same map that's in this season, but more in a 1v1 format now. There is no more Jailer and everything.
Thank God, because that's the thing I see the most, especially when I'm playing with randoms. Timed defeats, and you know how much it sucks to lose. It with sucks. The time defeat Gulag, especially in a 2v2 when you already win your 1v1 and then your teammate is nowhere to be found and they're just camping in the corner.
Mm-hmm. Other things.
Not when I'm with you, obviously, Ricky. Well, it's only happened once with you, but it wasn't your fault. It's because I think I was, like, nowhere to be found.
True. Other things about this. Weapon pool will be updated to include assault rifles, SMGs, light machine guns as your primaries. And then shotguns have been removed. Handguns will be available as your secondary. If you leave the arena victorious, you will be granted a large cash reward for players, along with cash being on the floor in the Gulag. So that makes it a little, that's more an encouraging thing, in a way, to win your Gulag. Not only will you win it, you'll also live out with some money on everything, like, or some more money and stuff like that. My opinion, sounds like a plus coming up this season. So we'll see what happens there. Second thing, cash economy. They are increasing the values to certain stuff. So piles of loot ground will increase to up to 800. Well, cash registers will increase to 500 as your minimum on all stuff and everything. One thing is cash can be acquired via ground loot containers. White stronghold supply boxes throughout the map. They will no longer be found in basic or legendary supply boxes. So I'm gonna keep it mid, because it's just you're losing it in the supply boxes, though you're gaining it. You're getting an increase and all that stuff. So we'll see how that goes. I think the one thing that everybody's gonna can agree on and be happy about: loot and inventory. Backpacks are gone. No more backpacks. They haven't explained about how your current looting system inventory will work and all that stuff, and how based on the size of that. But
I'm like, I can understand the backpacks to a T, but I'm like, really? I'm like, I don't think we need necessarily a balancing on the backpacks. I think we just need a balancing on what you can hold in your inventory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I think the fact of the one thing I did like about having the bigger backpacks is the fact that you have an extra weapon slot in a way.
Yeah.
So it's like in everything like that.
You know what, Ricky? We should do a game where we're like fuse and like just try to pick up like all of like the lethals we can.
So in the last sentence of the article for the loot inventory, every player will have the same backpack throughout the game, which will subsequently reduce the amount of stacking medical weapons, equipment, and killstreaks. What does that mean? We don't know. And sure, we will do a fuse like game where we just have nothing but throwables. Lethals. For that one. Loadouts. And this is the nice interesting one. Perk packages will now be customizable along with the pre-packaged ones coming season 2. But they are not every single perk will be available. They're gonna start off with a small pool and all that stuff, and then depend just for balancing reasons, and then they'll probably, depending on how everything goes, they'll probably add more in order to make it look, to make sure everything's all balanced out and everything with that stuff. So that's one thing for about loadouts. Second thing is you can still buy prime weapons at the buy stations, and then they say it's now at a more affordable price point. So that's going to be interesting. I think the 2,500 is a good price point as it is. If they make it a little bit lower, if they make it any lower, it might be a problem and everything. But we'll see what happens come to that. Loadout drop markers will still be in the buy station, and it won't be limited by a number of stock and all that stuff. So you can buy it at any time at a buy station.
Because, you know, and I think tired of
them. And they're probably gonna, it looks like they're dropping the prices on them too. By how much, don't know yet. We'll finally see that in the patch notes. And then now there will be a second loadout drop public event added. So right now it's always at the first circle. Now it's gonna be at the first and the fifth circles of each map on that stuff. All the changes will include 3-plate vests are now the standard. You don't have to buy them anymore. Once you start the game, you will begin with 3-plate vest. But I do get the feeling it's going to be one of those 3-plate vests where it's like you start off with 2, and then you have to find to stack them, add one more. That's just me. If it's a full
3, it's me. That's what they did in Warzone 2, right?
Yeah. So, but if it's a full 3-plate. That's still good, either or. Movement. The one interesting thing it says, players will be able to burst through doors while plating. But I don't know if it's just, that also means like if you're sprinting in general. Because one of the things about plating is like, you can't do it while you're sprinting. So,
yeah.
So I don't know if that counts as that, but we'll see. Buy stations. Easier. They've revamped their approach. Spawn locations will have been added and adjusted. Spawns will be static across the map. And loadout drop markers will have an unlimited stock, as I mentioned earlier. Also, strongholds, which is another complaint and all that stuff, particularly with the AI and everything. I think I'm just going to start with the last sentence, which would be season 2 will bring changes to the rewards. To the rewards players receive from Stronghold and Blacksite completion, as well as additional adjustments to AI combatant damage. Now, one of the things is like about this is like, what kind of changes could they make to this? And particularly of like, what can be in the, what's going to be in it if you complete a stronghold or black site, since you now have more of an easier way to get loadout drops now. I heard one thing from a streamer saying that you could put the specialist perk as a thing. And that gives you, what that does, it gives you all the perks and all that stuff at once and everything. So that's, it's an interesting thing, because that was a big thing to have in Warzone 1 and all that stuff. That's most of the changes in Battle Royale. Now, on to DMZ, which is going to be the interesting one. because a lot of people have been, apparently, people are complaining about this. That's shocked the heck out of me and all that stuff. Few things, they're going to do enemy tuning. So they're going to be some, pretty much they're going to be introducing a number of balance changes to adjust types of AI spawning, the number of AI spawning in general, and the accuracy of AI at range and much more. It should provide a challenging but manageable play space that still requires a player respect of enemy combatants in the DMC. Okay, that means AI is going to be less, hopefully.
You know, we'll see.
spawn points.
Because like sometimes I hate AI around strongholds. You know that's the reason why I died last night too.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because I was like, okay, there's two AIs. I'm gonna merc them and I'm gonna run out and go to the next building for cover. And there's just this dude. He saw me shooting AI. He's like, I'm just gonna wait up here until this dude comes out and die.
Yeah. And all that. But we'll see. Spawn points. They're going to be tuning some of the info points across the modules to improve early match experience based on gameplay data. And starting at a point in which your squad feels isolated or without loot, contract opportunities is not the best experience. That is true because I play this mode solo a lot. And hopefully we'll make some changes. I hope they just add some new spots because it's just like along with what they have, because it's like some of those spots are just crazy. There will be some mission difficulty tuning. Yeah, because those missions are really difficult to do.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And, the big one here. Seasonal refresh. All new missions are coming to season two, including a refresh of your current fraction, mission progress, and an inventory contraband keys reset. We'll be detailing all the need to know intel for DMZ ahead of season two uploading back. So this is the one that people were getting up in arms for and all that stuff, because of the fact that you're doing a complete reset and for DMZ. So you're losing out on the contraband weapons, your keys and all that stuff. It's going to reset your mission tiers apparently also, which I don't see the big deal on any of those things.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. Like the thing is about DMZ, this is extract and exfil. So this is like, there's an opportunity of you not, that's the thing about this. You don't keep what you have. You lose what you have. You die and all that stuff. And then the plus of the fact that you're going back to tier one because to grow all your loot. They were complaining about people was like, will we lose the stuff that we earned? Because like some of those missions you can earn like weapon contrabands. There's like XP tokens. A couple of them had like operator skins. The operator skins, I believe you keep. You're not gonna lose those just because it's not part of them and all that stuff. Like if you earn that, you earn that and all that stuff. And all that stuff. Like that's yours and all that stuff. The contraband weapons, a little bit understandable, but that's contraband. Bye.
Yeah.
And all that stuff and everything.
It's not like, oh man, I made this custom weapon and then I mean, I guess people can do that. They make custom weapon drop it on the ground. Like, oh, it's contraband.
So the thing is, the one thing is that people were also complaining about, and it wasn't mentioned in the update article, but so people were talking about how you are most likely going to have your insurance slots reset also. And everything. Me particularly was not tripping about it because I only have one insurance slot. And everything. But people have like all three. So before the recording episode, so Infinity Ward actually tweeted out for additional clarity on DMZ, insured weapon slots will not be reset with season two. So here's the other thing about this thing, about this article in general, that people are not thinking, that I feel like people don't pay attention to. Every single thing they mostly talk about on each item always ends with something like, stay tuned for more specifics. Stay tuned in an upcoming blog. Stay tuned for patch notes. and all that stuff. And then people are like getting up in arms and all that stuff. And it's just like, well, this is just a quick rundown of what they're providing. They're going to provide more details later on and all that stuff. And there was the same thing with this, like the season ratio. It ends with saying, we'll be detailing all the need to know intel for DMZ ahead of season 2 in an upcoming blog. Like, let's not panic already and all that stuff. And everything like that. So it's just like, come on now, guys. Like, because the guy, it was all up in arms. We're going to, and all that stuff. And then now it's like, it was, someone was saying that they heard from somebody within the company, within Infinity Ward, that insured slots were going to be reset. Then they had to tweet this and all that stuff. I'm like, come on, guys. And everything. And lastly, we are getting a new exclusion zone coming to season 2 and all that stuff. So there will now be Mazra, Building 21, and this new zone and everything. And hence why we are getting a mission reset, because the missions will reflect all three areas too. So
it's nice.
It's just nice. But the one thing though is for me, and they're most likely gonna talk about, hopefully they're gonna talk about it in the next when they provide more details, is Building 21 and this new exclusion zone gonna be permanent, like you can select it at all time, or are they gonna be available for a certain limited time, like how Building 21 is currently? And all that stuff, where you can only play it for a certain amount of time and all that stuff. That's the one question I have. Everything else I'm cool with and I can wait. Multiplayer. The one big thing is they are adjusting the rates, they're reducing the time rates for bonus and ultimate perks. They reduced the bonus by 50%, they reduced the ultimate by 25%. This how it ends, it says this adjustment will allow players to get ghosts earlier in matches, which is better support play, better which will better support players looking for more engagement aggressively and all that stuff. So there's like an issue about the ghost perk in particularly, how it's I believe it's an ultimate perk, and they want people should say it should be better as a it should be a bonus perk. And all that stuff, because with the new how the perks work is you start off with the first two and then you gain the bonus ultimate later on in the game and all that stuff. And I'm like,
I think overkill should be a bonus perk.
You think so? That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. That's why I said it. Make sense.
No, because I kid you not. No. Because the reason why I only said that is because I've actually heard people say that.
Really? Why?
I was just like, you do realize, so you're saying, so it's like, from what I'm hearing, so you're telling me you don't want your second weapon until later on in the match. That's what I'm thinking. So that's why when you said it, I was like, wait, what? Because like, I've heard other people say it and all that stuff. And I was just like, weird. And all that stuff. But yeah, so the bonus and ultimate perks will have a reduced time come season 2. It is what it is. I'm not going to trip about it, really. I don't care. Like, the perk thing, I'm cool with. Everyone else is complaining about it because it's like, and all that stuff, because it's not like how it was before. I guess. Weapon balancing. Of course, we're going to get that when it comes to the patch notes. My only question is, when they do the balance changes for the weapons, is it going to, are they going to be balances for separately for multiplayer and battle royale, or is it going to, the balances affect both modes no matter what? Because that's gonna be interesting to see. You know, for that stuff. Other thing is hardcore is coming season 2. It will replace tier 1.
Finally. I mean, not that I played tier 1.
I was like, I guess, and all that stuff. It was like, I'm not gonna trip about it. This is an interesting one. Concerning the playlist. One week per month, Infinity Ward will be creating a Twitter poll for fans to vote on one of that week's playlists from the rotating pool. Oh my god, this is gonna be interesting. Because if Shoot the Ship is gonna be an option that one week, everyone's gonna vote for Shoot the Ship. Or like Shipment 24/7 or something, like whatever, depends on what they pick. So it's gonna be interesting. And then lastly, rank play will be coming season 2. It doesn't provide any more details than that, but they will provide more details on it before, prior to launch and all that stuff.
Play some ranked is what I'm hearing.
We have two people that we've played with consistently on this game. So it just like I said, it's all about timing and seeing where that goes. But yeah, that's pretty much it about season two. It's like, I think there's interesting things. Nothing to be upset about currently because of the fact of this is just a update blog and nothing that concerns like patch note wise.
Yeah.
And all stuff. It's just like the reaction to it has been like, I think the overall reaction for how I feel from it, from what I'm seeing, is they see it's like, it's too little too late. But again, as I mentioned earlier, of like everyone, like I get the people complaining about it, especially from the content creator side of it. But we also have to relate. They want us, my opinion on this was, they want to see it from a overall general aspect, or to see how the season goes and all that stuff. And then plus the fact there's most likely they couldn't get enough done because of the holiday breaks and all that stuff. But for sure, though, they were paying attention. And that article blog clearly shows that.
Yeah. Anyway. You know, they're finally doing what we thought they weren't going to do and take community feedback. No,
just kidding. I don't know. That's just me. I know people always say, like, they don't listen and all that stuff and everything. And you got to also realize, like, this company in general, Activision, is going through so much crap and all that stuff on top of a potential acquisition by Microsoft and all that stuff. So it's just, like, so much is happening with that company in general. So much is happening with that company. But hey, they're doing the best they can. And then also, let's also remember, this is the very first Call of Duty game that's going to have an extra year of support. There isn't, let's remember, there is no new title this year. There's no extra title. There's no new title this year. There will be
just DLC.
That's the intended reports that come this year. It's going to be like a $60 expansion kind of thing and all that stuff. That's going to include a bunch of new stuff. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff. It's a continuation of Modern Warfare 2, but it's not a new title. It's not going to be a Black Ops title or something like that.
It's just going to be
a continuation.
Continuation.
That's all it is and all stuff. Everything. Like I said, we're going to, by the time this episode is already out, there's already gonna be details about the new Resurgence map. That's the other big thing about coming this season two and everything. So we'll see how that looks like and everything like that. Because this is the map. This is what it looks like. It looks pretty small. I don't know how and everything. It launches on the new season of season two, and not only looks like you're going to have Resurgence mode, but it looks like they're going to do DMZ stuff with it also. So, yeah. Interesting. But we'll see how that goes. If you are watching the YouTube version, you will see the photo here and all stuff. If you're on everything, for my audio listeners, if you're listening to this, just let you know you want to see the actual map, it's on the YouTube version. Or you've probably seen it already. But yeah, that's it right there. Back to the show. I'm excited to see a Resurgence come back. And everything. But we'll have some good time.
Yeah, we're also gonna have a very good time. You know, speaking of good times, have you had a good time playing Dead Space, Ricky? I've heard a lot of things. A lot of interesting things in our group chat. And
part one of the playthrough of the Dead Space Remake is available now on my YouTube channel. And let's just say I have never experienced anxiety in my whole life.
Until I played this game.
And everything like that. Here's the thing about this. I don't know if you watched the video yet, but there's in the beginning of the video, I give an explanation of my history with Dead Space and everything like that. And I almost recreated that same thing when I first played it again and all that stuff. Because, oh boy. Oh. Oh. All I gotta say, I will say this.
Lord have mercy.
Yes. It's nice. scary as hell. I'm creeped out. Playing this with headphones on and everything like that, and just like the loud stuff and everything like that, I'm literally in a serious panic every time and all that stuff. And I'm and people are probably wondering, it's like, why is this fool torturing himself like this? Because why not? And all that stuff. Let's see where this goes and all that stuff and everything. So it's just like, might as well just give this a shot and see where this goes and all that stuff. Am I liking what I enjoyed so far? Yes. And everything like that. Have I gotten farther than what I did last time? I think so, maybe. I don't know. It looks nice. It's the one thing I've heard about from someone. They were like, someone said that this is a good remake, but it's not like Resident Evil 2 remake and all that stuff. And I think that's an unfair comparison in a way, because you're comparing a remake game where it originally came out on PlayStation 1 and everything, where Dead Space is a remake of an Xbox 360 PS3 game.
Yeah.
It's hard to make that comparison in a way, to give those comparisons between two remakes and all that stuff. And everything. You can't.
Oh, definitely.
It's definitely, because Resident Evil 2, though I have not played it and everything, or played the beginning and all that stuff, everything in that game itself is totally different. Is a totally remade differently from its original counterpart and all that stuff, with a few of it, new additions to it and all that stuff. Dead Space, again, you can. It is a remake and all that stuff. The only few changes here is the main character has voice lines now, because it didn't before. There's a couple changes of how everything works, and it is more updated to these current generation specs and all that stuff and everything like that. So it's like, it's hard to try to make that remake comparison to another one like Resident Evil 2 or even Final Fantasy 7 remake, because... Yeah. Because again, those are remakes of games from way older generations, where it was 64-bit quality and all that stuff. Or less, or more, I don't remember.
Probably less.
Maybe. But all that stuff. I enjoy what I'm seeing so far. I like it. And everything. I'm scared out of my ass and all that stuff, but I do want to keep playing this game. But that's it. Because I haven't, makes again, sense to me. I haven't got much into it as a lot of stuff, but I'm, I like what I see.
That's good that you like what you see. You know, speaking about seeing things too, I didn't have the chance to see it, but the Xbox Bethesda Developer Direct. How was it?
So this here is we're getting our very first, I don't want to say our very first looks, but we're getting to see a chance of what Xbox is planning and Bethesda are coming to bring out this year. Because on that side of the front, when you look at first party titles, such as like Microsoft with Xbox and Sony and their stuff, those games, there wasn't much on the Xbox side last year and all that stuff, i.e. a few small ones and everything like that. So we have a few games. So when this first got announced, there was four games that were going to get shown. Minecraft Legends, Forza Motorsport, Elder Scrolls Online update, and Redfall. Out of the four, Redfall is the big one of them, and for that one, all stuff, and everything. So, Minecraft Legends, this is their take on arts on real time strategy, along with some other things. It looks pretty cool. There's a PvP aspect to it also. It looks very interesting, and I'm very excited. I'm interested in seeing what it looks like. And I'll tell you why I'm excited towards the end of it and everything. But that is coming out April 18th for that one. So, like I said, it gives it more. There will be a campaign and everything to this and everything for that. And then it looks pretty cool. I'll say that. Forza Motorsport this is now this is, I guess they're doing like a reboot kind of thing, because the last one was Motorsport 7 was the last one, so, but they're doing away with the numbers. All I gotta say is this. This game looks racing games in general, especially like these kind of games, these kind of, because this is more of a simulation racing simulator style kind of, these always look beautiful when they come on all the stuff. This one looks amazing. I'm in everything. So I don't know. I normally don't particularly try to play these games, but I, like, I'm just going to give this a shot just to check it out and everything. No date, but it is supposed to come this year. That was like the downside about that, about this one, about the whole direct in general, because that one didn't have a date. But if you're into racing, I do highly recommend checking out Motorsport, the new Forza Motorsport when it comes out. Next is Elder Scrolls Online. They announced their new expansion, which is called Necrom. Don't know much about Elder Scrolls Online. I know it's been out for a very long time. And everything, it has a ton of DLC, has a ton of stuff. I may have downloaded the game myself just to give it a shot and everything. Apparently I already had a character set up.
Makes sense to me.
I don't remember, so I ended up deleting it and starting fresh and all that stuff. It's supposed to launch, the new expansion is supposed to set this June. They do it how they do the releases are separately. So it's gonna do PC and Mac in the first half of June, and then comes to consoles, PlayStation and Xbox, in the second half of June. And then right now, they're doing a free trial, in which you can play all their past chapters and DLC expansions, and all that stuff. Which is pretty cool, and a lot of stuff to do. Yeah, if you have the free time.
If you have the free time.
If you have the free time. Because I was like, I jumped in that game, and I'm like, this feels like a lot's gonna happen. But we'll see. And then the next game is Redfall, which is one of their big exclusives, which is supposed to come out this year, along with another title, which is called Starfield. And I'll talk about a little bit that later. Can I just say, based on the article, it says this is a story-driven first-person shooter that releases on May 12th, which is now a new release date, bringing single and multiplayer vampire hunting to the bloody streets of Redfall. And the gameplay they showed off is just shows a lot of stuff that I'm just like,
it's looking very promising.
Hunting vampires. There's like these limbo worlds where you have to kill a. At the end, you have to kill like a heart and all that stuff, and a big old vampire heart. It was a lot.
Interesting.
Looting. All four characters have a different abilities and stuff like that. One of them has like this ability to, it's like you can like lift somebody up, like a partner up, and all that stuff. It looks really cool, and all that stuff. It's only stuff. May 2nd is the release date for that, and everything, and then stuff like that. What? There was a surprise that no one saw, not even me. At the beginning of the direct, they showed the first four, but then they showed a fifth and all that stuff. And then towards the middle of the show, they announced a brand new game called Hi-Fi Rush. Now, this is a game that is from the developers that are called Tango Gameworks. They made two games called The Evil Within. There's two of those games in, and another one called Ghostwire Tokyo. More dark, horrific style kind of games and all that stuff. Hi-Fi Rush is a totally different game. Based on from the article, it says players take on the role of shy, free-spirited slacker with a rock star ambitions whose music player is infused to his chest. Shy must defend himself through rhythmic combat featuring licensed tracks or non-licensed tracks from iconic rock bands including Nine Inch Nails and the Black Keys, with the help of Motley Crue of allies. Now, I said non-licensed music. There is an option to turn that off if we plan on streaming this game and all that stuff.
Makes sense.
So if you're streaming the game, or if you're planning on uploading stuff to YouTube, there is a non-license option. And the music's fine. And the music's good, too, for the non-license stuff. This is based on my experience. So, yeah. So, this is, like, so say this is Devil May Cry with a little bit of Sunset Overdrive, if you've ever played that. And, like, music games in general. Like, with the rhythm parts and all that stuff. Mix that all into this game right here, which is totally... The art style is beautiful. The combat itself is amazing so far from what I've played. And the cool thing about it was it released on the same day it was announced. And it was a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I've had a good time with it. I haven't beat the game yet and all that stuff because I have like everything else to play.
Obviously.
And everything. But I've been having a good time with it. And it's been a blast. I do highly recommend everyone checking it out. And also, because here's the thing. Now, as you mentioned, I said for Minecraft, Forza in particularly, because of course Redfall is one of my games. I'm going to play that no matter what. But for the other two, why are you saying that I'm still going to give these games a shot? Because the cool thing is, all those games, including Hi-Fi, is on Game Pass. Even ESO, Elder Scrolls Online.
I know. I'm going to have to try out Hi-Fi because it does look really cool.
All this is on Game Pass. All this is on Game Pass.
Awesome. Oh, also, I will add that I have seen some Hi-Fi has some JoJo references, so I will definitely be checking it out.
It does. It also, here's like the thing. So particularly Forza Motorsport and Hi-Fi. Oh, and even Redfall. Those are going to be games on a console perspective, exclusively on the Series X and the Series X. There's no Xbox One version at all for those games. Now you're telling me, he's like, well, I can't play these games because I have an Xbox One. Ha! Not true, technically. Not true at all. Because if you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you have access to the cloud gaming feature. And cloud gaming is available on Xbox One. So if you have the bandwidth, you can play these games via cloud gaming and all that stuff. So you're not losing out. And then plus, you don't have to stress about spending $300 to $500 on a new console if you didn't need to at the moment and all that stuff.
True.
So hey, if you don't think you're not worried, if you're not excited about, if you're going to be upset, no, you have the opportunity to play these games and all that stuff still. If as long as you have Game Pass Ultimate. And also, and then the other thing for Elder Scrolls Online and Minecraft Legends, I don't have an Xbox. I don't have a PC. Ha! Could be wrong. Just think you're wrong there. Because check this out. Minecraft Legends will be available on April 18th on Xbox Game Pass via PC console or Ultimate, of course, but also PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, PC via Steam, and the Nintendo Switch. This is a multi-platform game that is coming out. ESO is the same thing. You can still play ESO on PS4 on your PlayStation console also. Still, because they still support that. And that's a big thing because if you don't know, Microsoft's trying to buy Activision Blizzard and all that stuff. And the big coo-ha about that is that people are saying that Call of Duty is going to go Xbox exclusive when really it's not and all that stuff. And you want to know why? Because I just gave out two examples just now and all that stuff. Come on now. You think Microsoft would lose out like half a lot of money by reducing it to one platform? Come on now. Yes, I'm a big proponent of the acquisition. Give me and all that stuff. Because it's a good idea, in my opinion.
It makes sense to me.
That's all I gotta say about that. But that's neither here nor there. Because that's the thing. All I gotta say is check out the developer if you haven't already, if you want to check out the gameplay views of these games. It's highly recommend it, even if you're not like me who delves into the game industry in a different way and all that stuff. But I highly recommend watching the video to check it out. Check out these games if you have Game Pass Ultimate. They're all going to be interesting because that's the thing about Game Pass Ultimate. You're not spending the extra $60 to $70 for the game. You already have it to you already. And if you don't like it, just uninstall it.
Makes sense.
Yes, it does.
But... All right. I think that's going to be it for today, right?
Well, no. I have two surprises.
What? You have two surprises?
Two surprises.
Could I have forgotten?
Two big things, because apparently two things happened today that, as they were recording this, and I was going to put it on the doc, but I want to surprise you with it. I know one of them you're going to be interested in. The other one, probably not so much. And all stuff. This, the other one, one of them is more for a me thing and all stuff. But I think I'm going to start with the one that I might excite us both. So apparently there was, so of course, last year, Arthur and I attended TwitchCon in San Diego. Good times. Fun times. Megan Thee Stallion. Master Chief. I still get likes of that TikTok.
I mean, I don't see why not.
I still get likes on that TikTok. I was like, I got one today. I got one earlier today. I was like, yep, that thing's still going. And all that stuff. I don't know if because I have it pinned, but still, the fact that I still get likes on it is crazy. So apparently there was a leak of where this year's TwitchCon is going to be. And from what we do, again, we're taking this with a grain of salt. We don't know if this is going to be true or not because it's not officially announced. But there's a possible chance TwitchCon 2023 will be in Las Vegas.
It's baby.
Now, here's the thing.
Imagine.
Here's the thing. There's good things, bad things, and why I think it's a smart and dumb idea at the same time.
You got a bunch of nerds going to Vegas.
So first things first, it's Vegas. Of course. Why not? Well, the thing is, it also is like, where are they going to have it in Vegas? Because you have the Strip, there's other things around there and all that stuff. I learned something also. Apparently the Strip is its own city and all that stuff. And then like some other things too. That was like, oh, okay, that was interesting. And like makes sense at the same time too. But not here or there. So yeah, good thing about it. Again, Vegas. Come on now. And all that stuff. I just hope, because the rumored dates were a couple days before my birthday and all that stuff. And my thing is, around October is football season. The Raiders play in Vegas. I'm just also here's a kicker. Not many people know that. Twitch is a sponsor with it for the Raiders arena stadium. They're like a partner in some way. I don't know if they still are, but I know it was when I went to the tour a couple years back. And also, if they still are, yeah. So there's that. So it's like, if there happens to be a home game that weekend, tickets are expensive as hell, though. But still.
Still, you know.
Opportunities.
When
in Vegas. Downside. Here's the thing. Those Twitch is also for kids, like 13 to 18 and all that stuff. Don't know if that's a good idea in that perspective and everything like that.
Mega Stallion the after party. You tell me.
That's a whole, okay, remember, I think the party was 18 and up anyways.
I don't know. This is a some after party, I tell you, nerd.
Okay, stop. Chill. And everything. But here's the thing. I think I talked about this in way back in another episode, because I went to Vegas a couple years back, post COVID, of course. I was talking with Manny about how like it feels like. Because, like I said, the Raiders are now in Vegas. There's a WNBA team in Vegas. There's a hockey team. There's an NHL hockey team in Vegas now. There was talks of possibly bringing an MLB baseball team to Vegas now and all that stuff. And I was telling Manny, I was like, I think Vegas is shifting from adults only to a family event, a family locale now, in a way, and all that stuff. I mean, it's always been before, but I think it's showing more. And all that stuff since then, and all that stuff. So that's where it's like, okay, maybe that could happen. I don't know. And all that stuff. But here's the thing. I would not be upset if it stays in San Diego this year, in all honesty. Just San Diego as a city was a blast in itself and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And everything. So
like, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's just like, we had a good time that weekend and all that stuff. Everything that was there that we got to check out was pretty cool and everything like that. So it's like, I'm down for either or, but I do see of like where Vegas is not a good idea in a way. And all stuff. And the only thing, like the only place I can think of where they can have it, because there is a convention center in Vegas. It's a little bit behind the strip and all that stuff. Or the side of the strip. I don't know. It depends how you look at it. And all that stuff. So it just depends. Like, all I know is it's like there are people that are excited about it from what it looks like. The thing is, it's like booking a hotel now, making sure it's a refundable booked hotel so you don't lose your money and all that stuff if this is wrong and all that stuff. So it's like, I think for me, because like, I think I'm going to wait until it's official because I don't want to risk it. I ain't going to take that risk. I think between the two, I think there's a more slightly chance of me going if it's still in San Diego than it is if it goes to Vegas and all that stuff. Right now, it's all a rumor and also so and everything. So we'll see what happens. But hey, TwitchCon coming to Vegas, we'll see what happens.
I think it'll be cool.
Like I said, it'll be interesting, it'll be cool and all that stuff, but it's just like there are some, I don't want to say downsides to it, but we'll see what happens and all that stuff. Now, the second thing, again, this is more of a me thing and all that stuff. So again, last episode we talked, I mentioned E3 is coming back later this year in the summer, in June. And apparently there is an article that came out that we found, what it sounds like is normally E3 in general, there's like, it's all the developers and publishers and all that stuff from Sony, the Microsoft, Nintendo, Ubisoft, EA, or any of the other ones and all that stuff, and Capcom or all that stuff. And in the last couple years, and those are my last years of me going and all that stuff, mm-hmm. it's kind of like changed. Like Sony stopped going, Microsoft was still part of E3, but they had it outside of the LA Convention Center and all that stuff. And then it's like a few more, like EA is no longer there also and everything. So it's like, it's not the same. So now from what it sounds like for this year's event in E3, it sounds like neither Xbox, Nintendo, nor Sony will be part of this year's event. And though we did find out, we do know before this article, we did hear that Microsoft did not say that they will be doing something in the summer in LA for a showcase of sorts. But we don't know if they're going to be part, if it's still part of E3 or if it's something separate, like not in those days. And so we don't know there. Nintendo is like kind of the interesting one out of them because Sony had dropped out since 2019 and all that stuff. So it's not surprising if Sony won't be there if true. Again, Nintendo's the only interesting one out of it because one, they've been there ever since and all that stuff, especially since I've gone. Most of the times they do their booths based off big upcoming titles. Their big upcoming title this year is Zelda, but that's coming out before E3 and all that stuff, which is the end of May, if I remember correctly, and all that stuff. So there's some whatever reason for them not to be there, but at the same time, though, it's like, why wouldn't they? And all that stuff. Like, they're going to have something coming. There's going to be something coming out. There's going to be something coming out towards the end of the year. They're going to have something and all that stuff outside of Zelda. I mean, next month, Pokemon Day is going to be a thing. And then they're going to probably announce, like, some things such as, like, their expansions or maybe a new Legends title, like they did with Arceus and all that stuff, but something different and all that stuff. Maybe, I don't know. They have something up their sleeves. I just don't know. We just don't know what it is yet at this moment. And they're going to have to, they want to show it. Now, the general discourse of this whole thing is what people are saying is like, what's the point of going if the big three are not going to be there? Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, you know, and stuff. Of course, I had that similar discourse in a way. Because here's the thing is about E3, it's again, it's where people show their upcoming, their big, they announce their big games, what's coming out, at least within the next year or two, at least, and all that stuff. And it's just like how I see it, how I'm seeing it is like, and I tweeted it out, it's like, I'm gonna take this with if true, I'm gonna still be optimistic about this year's E3. Why? Is because there's more to just Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo. There's other developers that make these other games that we also play and all that stuff. And these smaller developers that are probably going to be there and they're going to show off their games and all that stuff. So it's like I have more of an opportunity to see other games outside of the ones that I know that I'm probably going to play in no matter what from the big guys and all that stuff and everything. So it's like Spider-Man 2, PS5 exclusive. We know that's coming out this year. No date yet. I'm not going to be upset that I'm not going to play it because I know I'm going to play it when it comes out and all that stuff and everything. Microsoft, Starfield. Starfield's the big one. Oh, depending on whatever else comes out the rest of the year for them, I know I'm going to play Starfield and all that stuff. And everything. They're gonna do their own showcase event for Starfield later this year. So no big. Nintendo. Zelda's gonna be out before E3. Whatever they announce, I'm most likely probably gonna play it no matter what and all that stuff. Because it's Nintendo. Nintendo has so many games that's easy to play. And all that stuff. And the Switch needs new stuff. Here's the thing. People are cramming for a new console out of Nintendo, a Switch Pro of sorts, or Switch 2. E3 would be the best bet to do that. And all that stuff, too.
That would be true.
That has there's a reason still for Nintendo to be there. And all that stuff. And it makes no sense. If that happens, like if they announce it, but they're not going to be at 3, it doesn't make sense, in a way, in my opinion. And all that stuff. But here, it's neither here or there. I'm not going to trip about it. I still want to go because I want to see what else is going to be there. What I have more of an opportunity of what to play some other games that I know I'm going to be excited for outside of the big three and all that stuff. So I'm taking it with once we get more official stuff that is this is a happening. I'm not going to take it as a big blow to the event itself. I'm looking at it as more with optimism of me seeing other things, more things now, potentially, and all that stuff, hopefully.
Potentially.
Like I said, it depends on a lot of stuff. It's going to be stuff that's going to happen, and I want to see stuff and all that stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much it. One last thing. I meant to add it to the doc, but I forgot. So again, we're recording this on a Monday. Apparently on Tuesday, we're supposed to find out the next slate of new DC movies under this new DC Studios branding, which is now headed by Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn and someone else I forgot his name about. It's been talked about ever since. Apparently Tuesday we're going to find out what these slate of movies are going to be, who's going to be in it. They did a press junket where they showed it off to the press first, exclusively hidden behind closed doors and all that stuff. And then Tuesday, we're going to find out more. It's going to show to the public what these movies are. We'll probably have another snippet here, maybe explaining of what's coming and all that stuff. Why, hello. Just to give you a few things about, the thing I talked about with the DC stuff was announced. Was talked about, did a separate video on that. You can check the link in the description below, and let's get back to the show. Maybe. And But yeah, so be on the lookout for, again, you're seeing this on a Wednesday. Be on the lookout for it if we happen to talk about it, or potentially me. I'll probably make it a reaction thing. I don't know yet. We'll see what happens. And yeah, so that's happening. I think it's like, the thing is more like, I'm just glad it's happening. We're finally getting consistent things. We're finally gonna have a consistency with on the DC side in particularly. And I'm just like, I'm just glad that there's gonna be something of continuity of sorts. Because I'm gonna be honest, like with you, it's like, because there's supposed to be, there's Shazam, Flash, Aquaman 2. I have no interest in watching those anymore. Like literally, the Shazam trailer came out not that long ago, and I didn't even bother looking at it.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So it's like, eh. But we'll see what happens. So yeah, that's the other thing. That's all.
Makes sense. But a lot of interesting things coming up. Very interesting year, because I always forget, dude. It's like February still.
It's gonna be
February. Or not even. It's gonna be February. Well, this release is gonna be February. So February, right. It's February. You know, we barely scratched the surface of this new year.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, getting excited for what's to come.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man and the Wasp coming very soon. Give you our thoughts on that.
2 days after season 2 of Warzone.
Yep. But then again, we are here. See you guys next time. We are No Name Entertainment. This is the No Name Podcast coming to you. See ya.